Good afternoon. The Judiciary Division of the Senate Finance Committee will come to order. It is April 9th, 2013.
Thanks.
I don't anticipate that we're going to need to take an overly lengthy hearing today, but we will finish its work by our work by 3 o'clock today. We do have the room reserved at 6 if we need to, but I'm hoping we don't have to go there and keep folks that late. Our first bill up is going to be Senate File 712, Senator Thompson. This bill was heard in Judiciary Policy, I understand there are no fiscal implications for this biennium, but we'll have Senator Thompson. Welcome back to the committee, Senator. And if you have any, you want to make some remarks about what changes, if any, have been made to the bill since we last saw it, and then we'll have Mr. Turner review the fiscal aspect of it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that. And members, there were a couple of changes made that shouldn't surprise anybody. It was kind of worked out after a lengthy discussion in the committee. And bottom line is, if you look at line 1.21 there, you will see that in addition to protecting prosecuting attorneys under the statute, judges and the Commissioner of Corrections would also be protected. And there was a similar addition, prosecuting attorneys and judges added, along with prosecuting attorneys over on line 2.32. And I believe, Mr. Chairman and members, that's it. And frankly, Mr. Chairman, I remember that Senator Ortman brought up the issue of the Commissioner of Corrections, and I believe everybody agreed that that was appropriate. And so that those are the only substantive changes that have been made to the bill. And with respect to the fiscal impact, certainly Mr. Turner can speak to this, but my understanding, having reviewed the fiscal note myself, is that there is no anticipated fiscal impact.
Absolutely.
So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would turn it over to you to determine how you'd like to proceed from here.
Thank you. Mr. Turner, would you like to illuminate us on the small fiscal note?
Sure, Mr. Chairman and members. First engrossment added 316 people. Eligibility for this bill, 315 judges and the Commissioner of Corrections. Sentencing Guidelines Commission doesn't think that there's going to be any impact or very little impact. Very rare, very rarely are one of these going to be charged. So everybody, the courts, public defender, and corrections said that they don't expect any sort of cost that would rise to an appropriation.
And just to clarify for the record, this is the only committee this bill's been heard in. We made the policy change in the bill at our last policy hearing. So we don't have any policy decisions to make here today. But it stayed with us because of the request for a fiscal note. And since it's zero, it should be an easy one for us to deal with. But we do have to run it, since we're just a division, has to run through the full Finance Committee procedurally. So is there any discussion or any questions about Senate File 712? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to be heard on this? I trust the prosecutors don't want to object to being protected in this way. All right. Then is there a motion?
So moved.
Senator Hall moves that Senate File 712 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the full Finance Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Have a good day.
Senator Hayden in the room? Take a moment before we get into our the larger budget bill and see if Senator Hayden is nearby. We're informed Senator Hayden is on his way, so we're going to wait just a moment for him to arrive. Thank you. Senator Hayden, welcome to the committee. Senate File 976, Conditional Release of Nonviolent Offenders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Senate File 976, I know that we heard this in the policy side of your committee, so I don't know, Mr. Chair, what you'd like for us to go over.
What we will do, we kept it here because of the finance implications, so why don't we have Mr. Turner review the fiscal note, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Turner.
And members. Senator Hayden's bill would result in the early release of certain eligible offenders. And the sentencing guidelines said that they have no information regarding how many eligible offenders there were. However, the Department of Corrections has instituted this program before. So they used some historical knowledge. And they estimated the following participation rates that would result in bed savings. For the first year in 2014, it would free up 3 beds. For the second year, 2015, 5. For the sixth and subsequent years, it would free up 6 beds. And that comes to some marginal savings of $36,000 the first year, $83,000 the second, $110,000 the third, and $118,000 the fourth and subsequent. So that is what the department has determined.
All right. And members, as you will note from the our budget bill that will be coming up next, we are intending to fund some more treatment beds, so maybe in the long run this program will be more greatly utilized than it has been in the past. Brock Hunter is here. Is there anything you wanted to add on this? You're just available to answer questions.
Just here to answer questions, Mr. Chair.
All right, Mr. Hunter is here as past president, legislative chair of the Minnesota Association for Criminal Defense Lawyers. So it's also anticipated, members, that we would carry the savings forward in our division budget as well, relating to this Senate File 976. Any questions or discussion from the members of the committee? Anyone in the audience wish to be heard on this bill? All right, is there a motion?
I'll make the motion, Mr. Chair.
Senator Goodwin moves that Senate File 976 be recommended to pass and be referred to the full Finance Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Thank you, Senator Hayden. All right, members, we're going to move on to the Senate File 671. That's the our omnibus funding bill. I'm going to relinquish the chair to Senator Goodwin.
Good.
Senator Latz, Senate File 671, and I understand you have a delete all amendment to begin with.
Yes, I do have a delete all amendment, and I move that amendment.
So moved. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Madam Chair, I also have a technical amendment styled A2.
A2 amendment.
So it's drawn to the delete everything amendments.
All right. Okay. On the A2 amendment, any discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Motion carries. The A2 amendment has been adopted to the delete all. Go ahead, Senator Latz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Senate File 671 is the chairman's recommendation for the Judiciary Omnibus Budget Bill. And in your packets, you have both the now amended A1 delete everything amendment, which contains the language for the bill itself, the appropriations, and you also have the spreadsheet that has the details in it. And I would ask Mr. Turner to please review the spreadsheet for the committee.
You can do that.
For the bill.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Turner.
Madam Chair, members, I'll be going over the spreadsheet dated April 8th, stamped 406. Starts on line 3, Supreme Court operations. The governor's rec, $250,000 for salary, $159,000 for judge's salary, $44,000 for the judge's share of pension increase, and the chairman concurs with all its recommendations. In addition, the chairman's bill has $250,000 the first year for the Supreme Court data integration project. That is in Senate File 235, which is moving separately, but we're funding the integration project in this bill. Civil Legal Services, the governor's recommendation was the base of $22 million plus $1 million. The chairman increased the increase to $2.5 million by $1.5 million. And so he agreed with the base, the $1 million, and then added an additional $1.5 million for a total appropriation of $24.5 million.
Madam Chair.
Senator Hall.
Do we want to wait until Mr. Turner has gone through everything and then ask questions or ask him as we go along?
Senator Hall, let's go through the spreadsheet first, if it's okay with you.
That works.
Okay, I'll speed it up here. Moving on to the district courts. We have essentially the governor's rec. We have $502,325,000, which is $500,000 less than the governor's recommendation. That's very, very close, seeing as how the governor recommended an additional $28 million to the district courts. On the guardian ad litem, line 37, base budget governor's recommend an increase of $1,036,000, and the chairman concurs with both of those recommendations. The tax court, $1,650,000 base. Three items, two law clerks, continuing legal education, and Westlaw access, were the government governor's recommendations. The chairman concurs with them. And in addition, he appropriates $25,000 each year for a case management system support costs. Uniform Laws Commission, governor recommended $98,000 as base, $133,000 addition. The chairman concurred with that recommendation. Board of Judicial Standards, again, the chairman concurred with the governor's recommendation of the base of $912,000 and $300,000 one-time appropriation for disciplinary and disability hearings. Next up is the Public Defense Board. In total, the chairman's recommendation is the amount at the senator's or at the governor's recommendation plus $3.5 million. And I'll go over how Chairman Latz apportioned $3.5 million. For employees' health and health and health salary and health insurance increases. The governor had $3,141,000, and the chairman has $4,987,000. Caseload reduction, the governor had $5,351,000, Chairman Latz has $5,578,000. Public Defense Corporations, Chairman Latz increases the base for Public Defense Corporations by $80,000 each year. The transcript base increase, the chairman increases the annual base for transcript costs to $200,000. They're presently at $300,000. The additional $200,000 will come out to $500,000 a year or $1 million for the biennium. And then Chairman Latz also fully funded their information technology staffing request at $970,000. On the post board, the governor's rec was a straight base appropriation. Chairman Latz added $100,000 each year for training reimbursements to local governments. Private Detective Board, base funding of $240,000. Human Rights Department is the same, a base of $6,336,000, Governor's Rec of $258,000 for two enforcement officers, and Chairman Latz concurs. In corrections, essentially, Chairman Latz concurred with the amount. We have the base there, and then we have $32 million on line 104, $32,460,000 to the institutions division. Chairman Latz's total is the same if you total 104 to 107. We just break it out for two bills that are going separately. The reason we have those bills there, we are not paying for those costs. I broke them out of the main line because we needed these listed individually to track the tails. Then finally, on page one or line 103, Chairman Latz appropriates $2.6 million for 100 chemical dependency treatment beds in the institutions division. Moving on to community services, the governor has $222,588,000, a governor's recommendation of salary and health insurance increases of $3,844,000. Chairman Latz concurs with the governor's rec. In addition, he takes $800,000 and additional aid from the MnCorps account and proportions it $704,000 to the Community Corrections Act subsidy and $96,000 to the County Probation Officer increase. Operations support is the chairman concurs with the governor's recommendation, and in sentencing guidelines as well, there's concurrence, and there is an initiative there, a $300,000 sentencing worksheet that both the governor and the chairman are funding. On the back page, we have our totals, and then there's one important line. That's line 144, general fund transfer in from the MnCorps revolving fund. Recommendation is $1.7 million a year or $3,400,000 for the biennium. This money is going to the treatment beds and to the CPO and CCA increase. And that, Madam Chair, is the chairman's budget bill. Would you like me to point out the few relevant riders, and then we also have one more amendment?
Yes.
That'd be okay?
Okay. Mr. Turner.
You got the budget bill pretty much implements the spreadsheet. I'm going to point out a few things here that are unique to the bill. The first rider on page 1.30 to 1.33, it's a biennial Supreme Court contingent account that we create for unbudgeted Supreme Court expenses, for example, entertaining, visiting VIPs, et cetera. Then we have, in all three courts, we have an employer pension fund contribution rider. It lists the amount for the Supreme Court, appeals court, district court. That amount is the 2% state share of the increased contribution to the judge's pension plan.
Okay, thank you.
In the judge's salary line, they're getting a 4% salary increase, 3 and 1, and the 1% will be their contribution to the pension plan. And this is all contingent on the passage of the pension bill. It's the language is writing in the pension bill elsewhere. That rider is in all three courts. Very quickly on page 2.14 to 2.25, that's the base budget level within civil legal services for family law caseload. We put that in every 2 years. The rest of the riders simply on page 3 and page 4, implement the spreadsheet. I'd like to point out on page 4, 4.23 to 4.25, the Public Defense Corporations, this is the way we decided to increase it, to state the base budget as opposed to the increase, and I hope that that's okay. If anyone has a problem with it, please come and talk to me later. The same thing with the transcripts, increasing the base budget to $500,000 each year. Okay, now we come to an amendment on page 6, 6.11, delete everything after the period, and delete lines 6.12 to 6.14. This language, it states this money may not be used to supplant existing probation officer positions or existing correctional officer services or programs. That's in the CCA appropriation, $792,000. We were told by the Department of Corrections that was unnecessary. And the exact maneuver on 6.19, delete everything after the period, and delete 6.20 to 6.22. That's the same language for the county probation reimbursement appropriation.
Members, are there any questions on this amendment? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Madam Chair and members, then we'll move to the page 7, section 16. Section 16, 17, and 22 have a history. It looks like we're creating a statutory appropriation. But there's some history to this. This year, the governor recommended that we take the special revenue appropriation out of the Department of Corrections. There were three of them, institutions, community services, and operations support. The history of that appropriation is 10, 20 years ago, the department rented a lot of beds to the federal government and other states. And they had, originally they had a statutory appropriation. These were dedicated to the department. About, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago now, the legislature, which tends not to like statutory appropriations, made it a direct appropriation, which worked for about a decade, but things changed, and they have very, very few contracts now with the federal government. And so even though we're appropriating that money, the money doesn't exist. So this year the Department of Finance decided to go back to the way we were. They took the direct appropriation out of the bill, and they, just in case we do contract, they reinstated this statutory appropriation provision. Funds received under contract shall be deposited in the state treasury and are appropriated to the Commissioner of Corrections for correctional purposes. That's Section 16, Section 17, and then Section 22, which is a repealer, and that repeals the inmate housing account in the special revenue account because it no longer exists. That's a governor's rec, and as is, the next section 18. Section 18 and 19 are connected to the Department of Human Rights. The provision where for a compliance certificate, rather than applying and paying every 2 years, changed it. It's every 4 years now, and the fee is doubled. But that's essentially a wash for businesses out there because you double the fee, but you also double the length of time. And that was the governor's rec, and the chairman has included it in his bill. And that's Section 18 and 19. And then two more sections, Section 20, Civil Legal Services. This is a 2009 or 2011 rider that prohibits civil legal services from using state funds to provide legal representation in federal courts. That this rider would have expired in July, but we put it in here anyway to be doubly certain. Section 21, the judicial salary increase, it implements the 1 in 3 judicial salary increase in the Supreme District and appeals courts. And it is contingent upon the pension bill passing. That, Madam Chair, is the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Senator Dietzick is going to move that last amendment because I mistakenly did not ask for a motion. So, Senator Dietzick, remember the amendment. Anybody have any comments on that to take out those two parts on page 6? Okay, again, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Motion carries. Senator Latz.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make just a couple of comments, and then I think Senator Hall had a question, and we can open up the floor for discussion. This bill is notable for two things in general. One is that it does not rely at all on fees for its funding. It's all general fund funding, and that is intentional, and it's my intent to pursue that direction in connection with the final product by the end of session. Because it's my view that our fee structure, in particularly in the courts, is already burdensome on participants in the court system to the point where I think it can have a meaningful effect on access to justice in Minnesota, and I'm very reluctant to add to that burden. It also, to the extent it involves fees that are commonly taken from the criminal traffic surcharge, which by statute is now $75. Every time that is increased, in effect, it reduces the amount of the fine that gets levied by the judge in sentencing for those offenses, because you can only get so many dollars out of any particular individual appearing before the court, and it being in many ways a zero-sum process, reducing that fine ends up, while bolstering the general fund, it ends up reducing the money that gets transferred, distributed through the fine process to, among other places, municipalities. And I don't think that's fair to continue to burden them, essentially, with state general fund obligations. So that's sort of my theory there. The other thing that's in here is this bill is notable for its absence of policy provisions. I have tried deliberately to keep this bill clean as a budget bill and not bringing policy to it, and the policy discussions are appropriate in other places, and I think deserve to be considered on their own merits and not wrapped in and mixed into a budget bill. So I have tried to keep this clean, and my understanding is that the House has made a strong attempt to do the same, so that we will minimize the kinds of conflict that we might have had in the past in conference committees where where there are policy provisions that one body has, another one doesn't have it in the budget bill, and the budget can travel separately.
Senator Latz, I understand that's the first time in recent memory that the judiciary bill has gone through without policy issues in it, so congratulations.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hope it's a precedent. the other thing I want to say about this budget bill is that we have attempted to maintain the strong level of funding for at least compared to the last biennium anyway, for the judiciary and the Department of Corrections. Previous biennia had experienced substantial cuts in these budget areas, and actually following the footsteps of my predecessor, Senator Limmer, I viewed the courts in particular as an independent, constitutionally protected branch of government, and that they deserved the full attention to their funding and not to be subject as much to the sway of our state's budget. The Corrections Department obviously plays a central role in public safety, one of the fundamental obligations of state government. in not only in running the in-custody portions of it, the prisons, but also in running the probation system, which is, frankly, a model for the nation and one of the reasons why we have not only a very safe state, but also why we have among the least expensive public safety systems in the country. And so we have continued that model. You will note, however, that there are some increases both in the governor's budget and in our budget for these areas because they have faced tough times cumulatively over the past decade, and particularly with regard to their employees. And so we have tried to take that into account when times were really, really tough in the state. These particular budgets, perhaps more so than many other areas of the state budget, are dependent upon personnel for the implementation of the services that they deliver. There's not much in the way of pass-through dollars that go to other agencies or other places for spending. So where the, especially where the employees have taken a substantial hit over the years, we try to give them a little bit of relief in that regard with some funding for their salaries. That is sort of the fundamental approach. We've also made some targeted investments, as you heard from Mr. Turner's review. We have had conversations in this committee about the lack of sufficient chemical dependency treatment beds in the corrections department and the complications that has had, not only for the bill, the program that Senator Hayden's bill addressed earlier today that we had heard in policy before today, but also just for purposes of public safety. When we hear numbers that 90-some percent of our correctional facility inmates have chemical dependency problems, we know that if they are released without treatment, they are going to be a much greater risk to the public's safety. And we want them treated and as chemically free as we can make them while they are within the structured confines of our correctional system. And adding 100 beds to the correctional system to accomplish that will serve all of us better and our communities better when they are released, as almost all of our inmates are at the conclusion of their sentences. You will also notice some important increases there for the public defense system and for civil legal. We have heard in this committee over time the challenges that they have faced, particularly in terms of staffing levels and the difficulty the entire court system has been facing from the public defender's shortage of staff. And so this bill will help them make up some of that ground and will also address some of the substantial difficulties they're having keeping staff that they train in because by comparison to the private sector, the salaries are so different that people are learning the ropes and then leaving the public defender's office for greener pastures, and we just can't provide the kind of justice that's necessary or efficiency within the court system that's important without being able to keep those staff. And civil legal has been cut repeatedly over quite a few budget cycles now, and we backfill a little bit of their cuts by supplementing their budget over the governor's recommendation here as well. So there are a few other targeted investments here which were identified by Mr. Turner. I'm happy to address any of them individually as questions arise, but I thank the members for their consideration, and I'm happy to answer questions.
Members, questions?
Madam Chair.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this question might be better for Mr. Turner to answer. If I could bring our attention to page 1, lines 6 and 7 of the budget table. There's a reference to judges' salaries of an increase of 4% each year. And then on line 7, there's a reference to state share of judges' pension increase. Mr. Turner, is the 4%, is that an accurate description of a salary increase, or is there I heard that there was a 1%, one of that 4% would be going to compensate judges for the increase in pension payment that they would be required to make payment on. Is that correct?
Mr. Turner.
Madam Chair, Senator Limmer. Yes, they'd be getting, they'd be netting out a salary increase of 3% because, but they're receiving four. One would be remanded as their share in the pension agreement that was, that's writing or that's in the pension bill right now.
Madam Chair,
I was
thinking of this recently, and by increasing a salary, let's say 4%, that means that FICA and other expenses that are an expense that tracks with a salary increase, they too would go up. So by having the 1% paid out, or 4% rather than 3, 4% getting paid as a salary increase, only to have that dollar amount go back to a pension, aren't we adding a little bit more as far as expenses to the state as an employer? We're now required to pay 7.5% of FICA fees on that 1%. Why wouldn't one just add it to the line 7 instead? And it would save, it's maybe not a lot of money when compared to a state budget, but am I wrong in assuming there would be expenses on a payroll check that we could avoid if we did it the other way?
Are you asking Mr. Turner?
Yeah, Mr. Turner would.
Mr.
Of course, Mr. Turner. He's chuckling right now, so.
Madam Chair, Senator Limmer. No, I think that's a legitimate question. Whether or not we want to tamper with the numbers that were given to us by the Pension Commission is another matter. But I think that you're correct. Yeah, you'd have Social Security involved. You'd also have, you know, the salary goes up, so your high five goes up when you retire. It's based on salary. But, yeah, there's collateral costs.
Madam Chair.
Senator Limmer.
You know, is this the language that was advocated or recommended by the pension people? Is this how they modeled it?
Madam Chair, Senator Limmer, what we got was numbers. And Senate Council came up with the language in the bill collaboratively.
Madam Chair,
Senator Limmer.
I've been trying to understand the pension difficulties we've had for a number of years, and I sometimes think that our recommendations we should maybe scrutinize a little bit because we're kind of leaving some money on the table. Either the money in a FICA differential could be added to offset a pension expense, because right now these are added expenses, and especially if you're going to bifurcate a salary increase, one could save a little bit of money. And I'm sure there's other places in the state budget that we could either use it or maybe not go there at all. But I'm just questioning and doing maybe a fine-tuned questioning of how we can do it better, and there's really no net difference to the judge's salary.
Madam Chair?
Senator Lass.
Dave Bergstrom from the Pension Commission is here if you have any questions specific to that. I know the 4% figure was also recommended by the Compensation Council.
Yeah.
You know, what their basis was, I couldn't tell you, but we simply adopted their recommendation, and that was a broad-based council.
Mr. Bergstrom, do you want to respond?
Madam Chair, my name is Dave Bergstrom, the director of the State Retirement System. The pension piece was approved by the Pension Commission after quite a bit of discussion, and it has passed both body governmental operations. Specifically to the FICA question, I believe that the FICA salary is capped at about $110,000. I don't know the exact amount. So this won't affect the FICA. It may affect the Medicare. I don't know if that has a cap. But the FICA shouldn't go up because of the salary increase. It does impact their high five average salary, but it also brings in more revenue to us. The employee and employer contributions are on a higher percent of pay. So it does bring in more revenue to offset the high five salary increase.
Well, Madam Chair,
Senator Limmer.
Mr. Bergstrom, explain to me how it brings more income in Is that to the pension board, or is that to state coffers, or
no.
Who does it bring?
Madam Chair, Senator Limmer, it brings it into the state retirement system judge's plan. So as because their contribution and the court's contribution are based on a percent of salary, the higher the salary, the more revenue that comes into us to pay for their pension. And in the case of the judge's plan, the higher salary actually brings in more money than the cost impact of the high five salary.
All right.
Any other questions, members? Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Turner, and Mr. Latz, Senator Latz, I'm sorry. Line 8, the Senate File 235, could you explain this integration project and what the 250 is for?
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Hall, this, as you know, was the gun bill, and a portion of the gun bill contains provisions requiring that data that has not previously been transmitted to the National Instant Criminal Background Check System and maintained by the BCA in electronic format needs to be put together in a okay. readable and ascertainable system, and the courts are where this data originates. So in order to accomplish those purposes, this will provide the staff on a one-time basis to put all that data together and make sure it's in the right format and in the right places.
Thank you, Mr. Latz. Senator Latz, I remember that now.
Senator Limmer.
Madam Chair, you're beginning to read my face rather than listen to my words. I had thought that the FICA dollar amount from the previous conversation where it was capped was $150,000 in salary and not $110,000. I may be off on that, but perhaps we could have counsel do a little research on us for us sometime in the near future. But I was just, for some reason, I thought $110,000 was a very long standard that's been around for a long time, but I don't think it's present, that dollar amount. So we'll just have to do a little homework on it.
Okay. I was going to ask if there's anybody in the audience that wants to comment on this finance bill. Anybody have anything they want to say? I guess Mr. Carlson may. Thank you, Mr. Carlson. State your name.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Joel Carlson. I'm here just to briefly put in some comments on behalf of a group called the Minnesota Association of Verbatim Captioners and Reporters. It's the Court Reporter Association. I want to thank the chair and the committee for the increase in the public defense budget, and in particular the increase in the base for transcripts. Court reporters are obligated to prepare an appeal transcript when the public defender's office takes an appeal. This year, the budget for transcripts ran out. I've got a letter from the board, ran out in November. And so court reporters who are preparing these transcripts, they pay for them, they pay for their own equipment, they pay for the copies, are now waiting over 8 months to get paid for work that is done. And every, every other agency in the state is required to pay their bills promptly and within 30 days. And so this budget increase is critical for making sure they have funds to pay for those transcripts. It has historically been underfunded. I hope this number gets there, Mr. Chairman, because you do have people that are doing this work for the Board of Public Defense and not getting paid for a significant period of time, and we hope this fixes the problem. I wanted to make a note of it in the record. So,
okay, thank you, Mr. Carlson. Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Carlson, could you tell me why the reporters are doing these transcripts on the side? They get paid separately on that, or is it pay beyond their pay as a subscriber? How does that work?
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chairman, excuse me, Madam Chairman and the Senator Hall, the official court reporters have a page rate that is set that they are set by the Supreme Court that they are able to charge for the preparation of a transcript. It's set biannually by the Supreme Court, and it's part of their compensation, but it is paid separately, and it is work that they principally don't do during their normal working hour.
Okay.
Anybody else from the audience like to make a comment? Okay, Senator Limmer.
Madam Chair, one question I wanted to bring us back to line 6 on page 1. And Senator Latz, maybe you could explain this for me. On line 6, when it comes to the 4% per year of a judge's salary increase, I'm looking at fiscal year 14 and 15. Wouldn't that be the equal number? Why is one at 52 is 1,000 and the other is at 107,000? 4% per year, I would think that would be the same number.
Madam Chair, Senator Limmer, it is the same percentage, but because you're building the second 4% on the first 4% from the previous year, then that the actual dollar amount carries forward into the second year, and then you add 4% to that.
So
the dollar
amount. Compounding effect.
The compounding, essentially, yes.
And one other question, Senator
Limmer.
Senator Latz. I don't remember when we've actually accounted for a pension increase in a budget like this. Usually, don't they follow, like, pension bills? They'd have a separate cost sheet just for a pension bill. I know that in another body around here, they are tracking it that way, and we're now adding it to the budget in this way. Is there a reason why?
Senator Latz.
Madam Chair, Senator Limmer, you're referring to line 7, I assume.
Yes.
We have been told, and I think the budget divisions in all the finance committees are going to be carrying their pension dollars in their budget bills. I don't know if there's been a final decision made about whether the final funding at the end of the day is going to be carried in a separate pension bill or in these individual division bills. But for now, anyway, this is where we've been told to keep it.
All right.
Any other? Okay.
I do want to say, Madam Chair, I want to thank the committee for the work on this and the input. Traditionally, historically, in my experience anyway, this bill has been a consensus, a bipartisan bill, and I appreciate that approach to these issues, and so that we memorialize that so that we can trumpet that when we get to the floor, where it will also be significant. I'd ask that we have a roll call vote and that it be reflected in the journal.
Okay, Senator Latz has asked for a roll call vote on Senate File 671 as amended.
Madam Chair, per the chairman or per Senator Latz's request, you'll need 3 hands to put this vote in the in the journal of the Senate.
Right. All right.
Seeing 3 hands, you can.
Thank you, Senator Limmer.
Do it right.
Okay, we will have a roll call.
Madam Chair, and one extra thing, Senator Latz and I reviewed this budget yesterday. And aside from a few of my particular questions, this is a particular budget that I am endorsing. I believe it's an appropriate one, and I believe it's an extension of what we tried to do in focusing the attention around constitutional priorities that are established way before we were in office. And it reflects the very true priority of what our state government should be doing in this area. So I plan on supporting the bill.
Thank you, Senator Limmer. Senator Latz moves Senate File 671 as amended be passed and moved to the floor.
Full Finance Committee.
Oop. Sorry, Senator Cohen. And moved to Full Finance Committee. Take the roll, please.
Senator Latz?
Yes.
Senator Hall?
Yes.
Senator Ortman? Senator Cohen?
Yes.
Senator Limmer?
Yes.
Senator Goodwin?
Yes.
Senator Sharon?
Yes.
Senator Dietzick?
Yes.
There being seven yeas and no nays, the bill does pass and is moved to Finance Committee. Congratulations.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
And now Senator Latz has one last bill on our agenda is Senate File 1029. The bill, this bill has provisions that are included in Senate File 671, which is the bill that just passed.
Madam Chair, Senate File 1029 is the, basically it contains the House's budget bill, and I wanted this committee to have a walkthrough and a full understanding of what we anticipate the House is going to pass for their budget bill. At least as it relates to the judiciary features, this will be the House Judiciary Committee. And it would be my intent then to have this bill laid on the table at the conclusion of our walkthrough. But then we'll be fully informed, or as fully informed as we can be in a short walkthrough, when we have to address some of these issues in conference committee. Madam Chair, I would ask that Mr. Turner walk us through Senate File 1029.
Give Mr. Turner a second here. She's doing
pardon me? Too, so it'll be the same.
This is the governor's rec.
It's just the governor's rec.
Well, this is just the governor's rec. So we don't need any more.
Yeah.
Okay. Members, I am
Senator Latz.
Now more fully informed that this bill just has a governor's rec in them and that Representative Hillstrom is going to be a delete-all amendment on her side. We don't have that information yet. So just so that we keep the counterpart vehicle alive, procedurally within the legislative process, I ask that we lay Senate File 1029 on the table.
Senator Latz moves we lay Senate File 1029 on the table. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Senator Latz, thank you.
Thank you. All right, so that concludes our agenda, except for a few announcements today. On Thursday, we're going to meet as a policy division first, or policy committee first, to hear a few late bills. We will then convert over to meet as a finance division to go over the bonding bills that have been sent to our division. And again, we have it scheduled until 3 p.m. and reconvening at 6 p.m. if we need to. But I don't anticipate that that'll be necessary. After this week, we may meet one or two more times for a few policy overviews or for some informational hearings to lay the foundation, either for bills that might be considered, worked up over the interim and considered next year, or that we may feel we have to have some information on if they're going to be confronting us in conference committee over policy bills. The House, I think, is putting an omnibus policy bill together, which we have not done. And we may have to deal with some of the House's bills that we may not have had formal hearings on. So at least we'll try to get some information on them as well. Senator
Hall. Mr. Chair, one of our members was gone during the 671 when we voted on that. I wonder if we could reconsider that. I'd like to reconsider 671.
Mr. Chair,
Senator
if I could
Orman?
Speak to that. I was outside the door on the phone, and our researcher was busy and didn't stop out to get me for that roll call vote, and I did intend to vote on that bill, and I would appreciate the courtesy of the committee allowing me to vote on that bill.
Senator Ortman, traditionally we try to accommodate members, but it's pretty unusual, and for the committee to go back just because a member was out on the phone and not in committee attending directly the committee business, everyone was well apprised that we were going through our finance bill. But Senator Hall has made a motion to reconsider the vote, so I guess the committee will take their vote. I will I will note I've made past attempts to accommodate Senator Ortman and have in other matters, and feel I've been burned on occasion as a result of that, but I will, for purposes of getting the record complete, I will support Senator Hall's motion to reconsider this bill. I guess we should, before we do that, we owe it to the other committee members that have gone thinking we were done with that bill to return. Senator Cohen was here as well. So if we can get Senator Dietzick and Senator Cohen back here in a few minutes, then I will support a motion to reconsider. Here's Senator Cohen.
Senator Dietzick.
Okay. Now everyone is present. So all those in favor of Senator Hall's motion to reconsider the vote in Senate File 671, say
roll
aye.
Call, Mr. Chair.
On the motion to reconsider?
This is motion to reconsider.
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. So we now have back before Senate File 671.
Thank you.
Senator Limmer has asked for a roll call. Is there a request that the roll call be recorded in the journal?
Yes.
There are three hands. There being three hands, roll call will be recorded in the journal, and the clerk will take the roll.
Senator Lapp.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hall.
As amended? This was amended bill?
Yes, as amended. Senate
okay.
File 671, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the full Finance Committee.
Recorded in the journal.
And the vote will be recorded in the journal.
Senator Latz.
Yes.
Senator Hall.
Yes.
Senator Ortman.
Yes.
Senator Cohen.
Yes.
Senator Limmer.
Yes.
Senator Goodwin.
Yes.
Senator Sharon.
Yes.
Senator Dietzick.
Yes.
There being eight in favor and none opposed, the motion prevails.
Thank you, members.
All right. There being no further business to come before the Finance Division at this time, we are adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.